Stock Assessment Workshop Review. Dr. Weinberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be giving a summary of the SAWSARC 52, which was a peer review of benchmark assessments that was done at the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. And I know you have a lot on your agenda, so I'll be moving through this rather quickly. The SAWSARC process is described in this slide. We have working groups that do the work, and then an external peer review panel comes in and does the review. There are publications that come out of this, and they're online at the sites that are indicated under number 3 on this slide. And in general, this is a review of the science, but with the addition of the SSC now into the process, some of the terms of reference are directly related to providing science information that supports what they have to do to make decisions about ABCs. This slide describes the review panel that we had. There were, and the chairman of the SARC was Dr. Pat Sullivan from Cornell University, and he's a member of your SSC. And then there were 3 panelists from the Center of Independent Experts. And I'd like to stress that these reviewers are truly independent, that they're independent from the people doing the work, and the Science Center has no role in selecting who the reviewers will be. The 3 stocks that were assessed and reviewed are shown in the lower right. Winter flounder from southern New England, Georges Bank, and Gulf of Maine. Now, there are 2 slides that have small font because there are a lot of terms of reference, and they basically go from soup to nuts in terms of a stock assessment. They require the analyst to look at the quality of all of the input data on coming from the commercial and or recreational fishery, all the survey data that are available, and that includes state surveys. And then it requires that estimates be made of that allow for a stock status determination. In this particular case, there were also some terms of reference that were added in, which are particular to winter flounder, like looking at the importance of winter water temperature on the recruitment of winter flounder. And this is in your briefing book, so I won't go through all the terms of reference, but there are a lot of them, and again, these are things which are developed at the Science Center, and then as a second stage, they go out to the NRCC, and we get input, we get feedback from each of the groups that we work with, and we revise the terms of reference based on that external feedback. Now I'll just go through the 3 stocks and give you a real brief summary of what some of the results are, and what the stock status conclusions are, and then some of the comments that came from the independent reviewers. So first of all, the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic stock of winter flounder. This graph shows the landings and discards from our database, which goes back to the 1960s. And as you can see, throughout the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, the landings of winter flounder in this stock were extremely high, upwards of above 10,000 metric tons per year. And the catch has declined since the 1980s. This slide shows the results from the assessment model. The solid line is the estimate of spawning stock biomass through time. And this graph begins in 1980. And as I mentioned in the previous graph, which showed landings going back to the 60s, landings were very high all the way through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But the model begins in 1980. And the spawning stock biomass was declining very rapidly throughout the 1980s. And around 1990, stabilized at a low level and has remained at that low level with a few fluctuations around it, but basically has remained low since around 1990. The recruitment has followed a similar trend, and that's shown by the vertical bars. So this is indicative of a stock recruitment relationship where when the stock is high, you get more recruitment, and when the stock reaches a low level, things happen that lead to low recruitment. So if you look at the level of recruitment, it's just gone down, and over the last 10 or 12 years, these values have been at their minimum over the time series. And in this particular assessment, for this stock, there is a stock recruitment relationship, and that's basically what I was alluding to. And the important point here is that all the blue dots that are below the line when the stock size is low, those are from the most recent years. So the residuals around this fit, there's a trend here with respect to time where the most recent years have they're performing badly, basically, in relation to the average relationship between the stocks and the recruits. And that's a bad sign. The message is that for this stock, we need to increase the spawning stock biomass if we're going to foster greater recruitment. So the trick is how to accomplish that. And work was done in this assessment looking at the impact of seawater temperature on recruitment. And there were some correlations, actually, but they were not incorporated into this particular stock recruitment curve. But that was a term of reference, and there was quite a bit of time devoted at the meeting to looking at how the environment affects recruitment. Now, because there was a stock recruitment relationship, that allowed the assessment scientists to shift from using proxies for the reference points to actually estimating directly the biological reference points, which are BMSY and FMSY and MSY. So that's a change from the GARM-3, which was done in 2008 when they used proxies for the biological reference points. And getting direct estimates is more along the lines of what's called for in the reauthorized Magnuson Act. So in these slides, I won't go into the details, but these two slides show you how the estimates of the biological reference points change when you use the proxies versus the direct estimates. And the outcome of this review then is to use the direct estimates. That's what is recommended. So for this stock, the Southern New England stock of winter flounder, here are the results from the model related to fishing, whether overfishing is occurring or not. And the good news is that for the last 3 years, overfishing has not been occurring. The bad news is that for the entire time series before the last 3 years, overfishing occurred all the time. And the reference points are both the proxy and the direct estimates are shown by the horizontal lines going straight across at around 0.3. The F rate, the fishing rate right now, is quite low. It's about 0.05, which is a really low fishing rate. And here are the results from the model showing you the trends in spawning stock biomass over time. And the solid line at the top, the solid line horizontally at the top is the biomass target that's the current BMSY value. And you can see that the stock is well below the biomass target, currently at about 16% of the target. The slide right here just is a summary of that information. The green dot in the lower left shows where the stock is in relation to the spawning stock biomass, and on the y-axis is the fishing mortality rate, and then the hatched lines which go across and up are the reference points. So because the stock is in that lower left quadrant, that means that overfishing is not occurring, but the stock is well below the biomass target. And in the projections that were done, it was concluded that the chance of rebuilding by 2014 is less than 1%, even with fishing mortality rate equal to zero. And these results are pretty consistent with the results which were came out of GARM 3 in 2008. So I'll just mention a few of the comments from the review panel. They felt that the terms of reference were satisfactorily addressed, that the stock is overfished, but overfishing is no longer occurring, and the statistical catch-at-age model is a credible approach for doing the science and for providing fishery management advice. And a concern here is that the exploitable biomass estimates might be biased high because of some of the technicalities about how the model fit given the different series of data that are going into it. So this is a concern because it's saying that the results that are shown in the graph may actually be too optimistic. And the third point is that predicting future recruitment is not straightforward. And then they make, the SARC panel made some recommendations. And the only one I'd like to mention is that the third one in this slide about give additional consideration about how to use the different surveys in the model. This stock assessment is based on not only the center's survey, but also surveys from Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Delaware, and Connecticut. So the reviewers talked a lot about how different weightings might be given to those different surveys in the model. And that's a common recommendation that we get from reviewers when multiple surveys are used in an assessment. And then the second slide has additional recommendations from the review panel. And these reports are published online at our Science Center website. If you go to the SAW-SARC webpage, you can get to the documents if you want to see the details. Now, moving on to George's Bank winter flounder, the results are a little more positive. This is a graph that shows the landings through time, again going back to the 1960s. And if you recall the previous graph, the axis for landings went way up above 10,000. But this is a much smaller scale in this axis. So the landings for George's Bank winter flounder have never been as high as the landings that took place in southern New England mid-Atlantic stock. This slide shows the from the VPA model that was done, the trends in fishing mortality. And again, the good news here is that overfishing is not occurring. The most recent 5 points from the most recent 5 years are all below the FMSY value. And also in this stock assessment, they were able to change over from using proxies for the biological reference points to the direct estimates. And this may seem like a small technicality, but if you think back to last year, your council and the SSC actually had some lively debates about the importance of proxies versus direct estimates. This slide shows the model output for spawning stock biomass over time. And there's been an increase since around 2005 where the stock seems to be rebuilding. But it's only at about 82% of the biomass target, which is 11,800 metric tons. So the being at 82% of the target is good, but it has to rebuild. And a projection was done. Based on the projection, there's a 78% chance that it can rebuild by 2012. And they're making an assumption about what the catch will be during this rebuilding time. But anyway, that's a fairly high probability, the expectation that it will be rebuilt by 2012. Then this is a slide that shows recruitment over time. It's a lot less tighter of a relationship than we saw for southern New England. And this is the summary slide, similar to what I showed you for the other stock. And again, you can see from this that overfishing is not occurring because the most current point, which is the yellow dot, is below the FMSY threshold. And then the stock has not yet gotten to the biomass target. It's 82% of the way there. So these are the most current findings for the Georges Bank stock. And again, the SARC panel found that the terms of reference were all completed satisfactorily, that the stock is no longer overfished, but it's also not rebuilt, and overfishing is not occurring. And the VPA model is a credible approach to providing fishery management advice. And the only recommendation that I want to highlight is that the panel of a VPA is the model that was used in this case, and the reviewers felt that it might be better to try to switch to a more sophisticated analytical model the next time this is done. Moving on then to the third and final stock, which is the Gulf of Maine winter flounder stock. This is one, if you recall from the GARM 3, which was when this was last assessed in 2008, the analytical stock assessment in 2008 was rejected. So there was actually an unknown status in 2008. And this is given the data that we have for this stock, it's really resistant to modeling. It was difficult in 2008, and it was difficult again this time. So a lot of work was done to try to model do an assessment model for this stock, but it was rejected by the reviewers, and they had to fall back to a much simpler approach, which I'll describe in a moment. So here are catches going back to the early 1980s. They were higher in the past, and they've since been quite low. The one thing that the assessment scientists and the review panel were able to do was to get a swept area biomass estimate of essentially what is the size of the stock in 2009 and 2010, and these estimates are shown here. And we were fortunate to have a number of surveys to get that estimate from, but they were unable to actually determine a biological reference point for biomass. So even though we know and we have an estimate of what the biomass currently is, we don't know how high it needs to get. So the result is that the status with respect to whether it's overfished or not is unknown. But the panel and the assessment scientists used a yield per recruit approach in order to get an estimate of a reference point for overfishing. And that's shown in this slide. And then when they computed an exploitation rate because the catches were known, and they compared the catches over the estimate of biomass, they were able to compute an exploitation rate and compare it to the reference point that's shown in this slide by the horizontal line. And so they were able to draw the conclusion that overfishing is not occurring. And in fact, the fishing rate was extremely low, as it is in all three of the winter flounder stocks. And then the panel had comments basically reflecting all the difficulty that they had with this assessment, and that the swept area method was essentially the best that they could come up with under the circumstances. And then there are a number of two pages of comments here and then a slide showing some of their recommendations. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
I just had a quick question on the maximum sustainable yield of 45,000 metric tons when we were talking about the first species of southern New England. How do you set that number as attainable when historically it doesn't look like that's been anything we've gotten near?
Yeah, that number is an estimate that comes out of the stock recruitment, using the stock recruitment curve. And there are a series of equations and theory that are developed. If you base reference points on a stock recruitment curve, then once you take that path, you follow those equations. And the fact that at high stock size, you can get a high recruitment, that's telling you that there's a lot of potential in the stock for it to grow quite large. It's just that we're nowhere near there. And if you had used the F40% and the biomass 40%, the proxies that were used in the past, those are based on different equations. So, funny. Yeah. Anyway, I think that sort of addressed your question.
Ron, did you want to address that question? Okay, what I'm going to do is take some. I've got you on the list. I've got Dave Preble and Dave Pierce.
Yeah, thank you. My question is similar to the last one. I'm not clear on this yet. There's a difference in the stock recruitment ratio between Georges Bank and Southern New England Mid-Atlantic. I'm curious about that. Now, you said there was a stock recruitment ratio evident with the Georges Bank stock, but not with the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic. Is that, or am I getting it wrong?
No, the Southern New England stock and the Georges Bank stock both had stock recruitment relationships, but it was a much tighter relationship for Southern New England.
Okay. What I can't get a grip on here is there some difference in your, and I'm not sure you can even answer this, some difference in some biological parameter between the two stocks, or is it an environmental difference? What would you speculate on that?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting out of my role as I just chair the meeting and I interpret the reports for you, but I seem to recall that they felt that since southern New England was closer to land, that it was more, there were factors related to water temperature and coastal processes and seasonality that could influence recruitment more strongly.
Thank you. That's exactly the answer I was wondering about. Thank you.
Dr. Pierce.
One of the terms of reference was that swept area biomass estimate should be attempted, and you were successful, well, the SARC was successful in doing that for some of the stocks. Was an attempt made to do the swept area biomass for southern New England, mid-Atlantic, winter flounder, and did it succeed?
Well, to be clear, the term of reference is actually to estimate spawning stock biomass, not a swept area biomass. And they attempted to do that for all three of the assessments. And for the Gulf of Maine stock, they were not able to estimate spawning stock biomass using an analytical model. So they resorted to using a swept area biomass based on the survey. So it was a simpler approach. But in all three cases, they got an estimate of biomass, whether it's spawning stock or total. They just came about it using different approaches.
Okay. Thank you. The SARC panel had quite a number of very interesting comments, and one in particular caught my eye, and that's the one that relates to a description of stock vulnerability should have focused more on the biology, that is, on the life history, the productivity, the resilience to impact from fishing, environmental conditions, and less on statistical diagnostics. That's a good comment, and it leads me to ask the question. You just said, Jim, that indeed in the southern New England, mid-Atlantic area, there is a tighter relationship of stock and recruitment. I guess that's so. However, did the SARC actually take a close look at and consider the fact that southern New England, mid-Atlantic winter flounder spawn in coastal waters, specifically in salt ponds and estuaries, and that over the last 15, 20 years we've seen a steady degradation of coastal waters, salt ponds, estuaries, to the point where recruitment may, and in all likelihood, has been very low because we have just lost the productivity of those critical embayments where winter flounder spawn. Unlike yellowtail flounder that spawn offshore, winter flounder are in the estuaries. Mark Gibson can certainly testify to that since Rhode Island has done such a tremendous amount of work in their area, Massachusetts. We've done a lot of work in our areas, too. So we have great concern for that. So did the SARC actually take a look at that? Because I'm concerned that we have lost the productivity needed for successful reproduction of whatever spawning stock is available in the southern New England, mid-Atlantic area. Did they look at that at all, or are they just saying it should be looked at?
I think both. The number of background papers that they considered in this review numbered up around 40, and all of these papers were online and available to everyone at the meeting, and many of them were discussed, you know, outright at the meeting. So I think you're on the right track. The conclusions you've drawn, that I can't recall all the discussion that they had, but, you know, I think what you've said wouldn't be at all contrary to the feeling at the meeting.
I assume they did not look at marine mammal impacts, notably the huge seal colonies that exist on Monomoy Island at the eastern entrance of Nantucket Sound, where all the Nantucket Sound, Vineyard Sound flounder, or most of them anyway, seem to pass to go on to Nantucket Shoals. You know what I'm getting at? I've been told from divers and from others that seals love flounder and they eat them off the ocean bottom like potato chips. So one wonders what this growing colony of seals might be doing in terms of its impact on those flounders when they exit the sound in the spring. I would love to see some research on that, such as tags put on seals to track their movements, especially at that time of the year. So was there any discussion about the impact of marine mammals on that stock? I suspect it could be significant.
If there was, it was very little. And I think this is a good time to point out that the terms of reference are have grown so long that we have to limit the number of things which can be done in these assessments, just in the interest of time. And of course, ecology is a huge field, and you can go on and on with terms of reference and continually add things that are important, and many of them should be addressed, but we can't always do everything. And this is basically what filled an entire week of a meeting.
I have Dave Gaethel, and I'm going to then jump to the audience to take a couple questions, try and keep us on time. I think if there are other burning questions that people have, Dr. Weinberg is not going to run away immediately after this, so maybe you can ask those questions.
I don't know how I can follow up on the winter flounder tastes like potato chips. Is there any indication, Dr. Weinberg, that the adults, the temperature effects are affecting the adults in southern New England as well? Any indication that they're voting with their tails, basically, you know, moving, changing survey strata or anything?
That there may be some evidence of that, but I'm just not recalling. I think there are papers about it and so forth, but I'd have to, go to the literature and reread things. So I'm not going to venture into areas
okay.
that
if
I...
If you could maybe send me a reference or something, I'd be interested in that. And the other question I had, is there any indication that VMSY in southern New England is attainable in this current temperature regime? In other words, if we don't... If things continue to stay warm, are the reference points still attainable?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid question because of the fact that, as I pointed out in that stock recruitment curve, there are residuals. Most of the current recruitments are performing below average based on the curve, which is for the entire time series. So there is concern about the stock's ability to achieve that rebuilding level and achieve then MSY and so forth. But the way the assessment was done and the reference points developed, they do consider the entire time series, and so these are the estimates that come out of that.
Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. Pretty much following up on Dave Pierce's remarks, I'm really glad to see the panel comment about depending more on biology and less on statistical analysis. I mean, I was a participant in SARC-SOL 1, and now we're up to 52, and a lot of times the panel becomes mostly mathematicians, and the ecological discussion is short and brief. And while the papers are online, it's not well informed. What I'm curious about is I definitely see it since the 1980s, a relationship between little skate and winter skate versus winter flounder, and especially knowing that the skates eat the winter flounder eggs, which are set on the bottom. And I don't know what percentage of spawning takes place in the estuaries and what percent takes place out along the 15-fathom line where we see them in the winter. So I'm just wondering whether there was discussion of now that we're all talking about ecosystem management, at these SARC saws trying to look at correlations between predator-prey, in this case, little and winter skate, increase in abundance and corresponding winter flounder decrease, fully understanding, of course, that we have degradation in the estuaries and seals eating them like Cheetos or potato chips. So I was just wondering if that was discussed.
Well, the skate issue was not discussed per se, and we do include some ecosystem type terms of reference in these assessments, but in general, the probably 80% of the time that we have to do them and review them is taken up with getting stock status determination. So If you look over the last 3 or 4 years, generally there's an ecosystem, one ecosystem type of term of reference put in. But these meetings, we've basically been trying to adapt them to incorporate more of an ecosystem approach. But it's extremely difficult to accomplish all the other work and also do that. It's almost a different peer review process. The expertise of the reviewers may be different, as well as the people doing the analyses. In the Herring assessment that's coming up, one of the terms of reference is all about the consumption of herring, and that'll be a big part of that review.
And that's just what I'm wondering about, is there's a whole management strategy. I mean, we can't really control the health of the estuaries or you know, what seals eat, but we certainly could increase the harvest of little skate and winter flounder if, in fact, that would bring back little skate and winter skate, increase that harvest from an ecosystem approach, that if that, in fact, helps bring back winter flounder. If we have the council could do that, I think. I'm not, it might require some changes in law, you know, who knows, but it should be a path that we start exploring. Because there's, I mean, I'm thinking of Steve Murawski's paper about the Gulf of Maine and the shrimp and the codfish. You could decide, you know, which fishery you want to increase at the expense of another fishery. Here, you know, what's amazing with this data is that, in fact, we see with the decrease in fishing effort, we still don't see the resurgence of that southern New England winter flounder population. So that's what we can control is fishing. And if we could increase fishing on one stock to benefit another, I think the council needs to consider that.
Yeah, I just a comment in response to that, a caution, I guess. Before I did this job, I was actually a field ecologist for a couple of decades. And interspecific interactions are tricky, and often there are correlations, and they don't always mean cause and effect. And you may think that you're going to cause a certain effect by increasing the mortality rate on a certain species, but it may not actually produce the effect that you intended. Just a caution from my own experiences.
One more? Is there one more question for Jim? Okay. What's that? Oh, Doug?
Just one comment after seeing the assessment for Southern New England, and it really points out what a difficult job this council has in trying to bring this stock back, because even when we had recruitment levels that were six times what we're experiencing right now, those recruitment levels were produced with SSBs that are two-thirds of the threshold. So we were still well below our rebuilding target, yet we were getting recruitment that's much, much higher than it is now. So the anticipation is that we could have recruitment based on the stock recruitment relationship that's maybe 10 times what we have right now, to be able just to get up to a rebuilt fishery.
Thank you. We're now going to move on to the Bomer discussion, and then 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 discussion, and then